I'm Carol Hills, in for Marco Werman, and you're with The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. As we sprint to the end of this year, we want to remember a story that was huge in the first half of 2015. I'm talking about the Ebola outbreak in West Africa that ravaged Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. The World Health Organization has declared that as of yesterday, Guinea, where the epidemic began, is finally free of Ebola transmission. We're going to check in with friend of the show, Sherry Fink. She's a reporter with the New York Times. Sherry, first explain to us what the WHO is saying about Ebola in Guinea.
They are saying that for the very first time since Ebola was thought to have originated in a young child who probably caught it from the animal kingdom in a small village in Guinea 2 years ago, finally, that country has no more cases of Ebola, hasn't had cases for 42 days, which is 2 full incubation cycles of the virus, and therefore the WHO can now declare that Ebola virus transmission has stopped.
And remind us what the situation is in Liberia and Sierra Leone.
Sierra Leone has also reached this milestone. Liberia reached it first, but interestingly has had 2 times where Ebola has popped back up, once in one woman, another time in 3 members of a family last month. And so what scientists now know, just this mystery of Ebola, the mysteries keep unfolding, is that in very rare cases, Ebola can likely be transmitted from survivors who may harbor the virus for a certain amount of time in certain body fluids, such as in the testes. It can actually be a sexually transmitted disease in very rare cases. So because of that, what the WHO is saying is that for 3 months now, following this declaration in Guinea, that they will have a period of heightened surveillance. So they'll be on the lookout for any sporadic cases so that they can quickly respond to them.
Have you heard about how people are receiving the news in Guinea? I mean, do they remain skeptical or are they sort of ready to move on?
Well, yeah, I've been working with a reporter there. We worked on a story together yesterday as this momentous day came there, and it was a mixture. So you had people who were dancing. My colleague there said just some of the Ebola response workers who've seen so much death and who've worked so hard for 2 years, they were literally dancing. It's been their dream to reach this day. There were others, like some survivors. What we found out is that survivors of Ebola don't just walk away. A lot of them do end up having health problems. So this is a real priority, is to not abandon these people. They have health needs. Some of them have severe eye problems that can be treated very effectively, very cheaply. But if they don't get that treatment, they could lose their vision. They may have psychological issues from all that they saw and suffered and the stigma that remains. So they were taking this day as a day to remember family members who had died. On the other hand, there are a lot of people coming in to celebrate. Today is a day of celebration in Guinea for the end of Ebola. There's a big concert happening in the capital. So a real variety of responses on this momentous day.
Guinea really suffered terribly from Ebola. About 2,500 victims died. 6,200 children have been left orphaned. I imagine that the NGOs are kind of going to pack up, but is anything in place to care for the sort of survivors and then those who are orphaned?
I was speaking with the head of UNICEF, the UN Children's Agency, in Guinea by phone yesterday, and he really made this point that we absolutely can't pack up, we can't abandon these children, that there are many, many needs going forward. One of the things that I think the world has realized from this outbreak and the way it got so out of control was that these countries have real needs in terms of healthcare systems, in terms of surveillance for infectious diseases. You know, the next big outbreak could be something else that could emerge there and spread around the world. So I think I've been hearing a lot of at least lip service paid to, we're not packing up, we're going to maintain a commitment. What history shows us is that after a big calamity, there are often a lot of promises made and they don't always get followed through on. So I think that's something that we journalists will need to keep our eyes on in the coming months ahead.
Sherry, this was a very personal story for you. You visited these countries. You did some amazing reporting. And so you experienced the sort of devastation up close. What was your own reaction to hearing that Guinea has been declared free of Ebola transmission?
Well, gosh, it is really emotional, especially thinking about all of the heroic work that's gone on in the communities and the survivors and their just tenacious will to get through this awful, awful disease. So, yeah, I'm feeling good and seeing some of the pictures of the big smiles on people's faces. And I remember sitting back in February, just people just talking and dreaming about this day and what they would do once Ebola was gone.
Sherry Fink is a reporter with the New York Times. Thanks, Sherry, for speaking with us.
Thank you.